There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And away we go. Week 11 kicks off tonight in Green Bay. It's going to be a weather game. We'll get to that in just a bit as we welcome you in. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher on assignment in Miami. How about that? Michael Lombardi. How we doing, Michael?
We are good, and you hit the line. I mean, remember when Jackie Gleason used to announce his show, and away we go? I mean, here we are in Miami, the wonderful city. Tua mania is all over the place. I came down here to experience it and relish in it and see how we're doing. But it's great to be here, Patrick, and we got a lot to look forward to. The week starts with a good game, I think, tonight. I really do. I think it'll be a fun game.
You know, for Thursday night, this is a pretty good menu. And by the way, Football Done Right is the book. Michael is on assignment working on some book stuff, so that's pretty cool, as that's going to drop sooner than later. Okay, let's discuss it. Look, you and I, it's kind of been the theme where weather is now a part of the mix, right? So
yeah.
Weather
mm-hmm.
moving forward is going to be a part of the mix here. And again, there's a slight correlation when it comes to temperature and scoring being just a tad down. But tonight we are going to have 20s. With the wind chill, it's going to be in the teens, maybe 8 to 10 degrees there in Green Bay. Let's start with the weather, and then we'll set up the number.
Well, I mean, look, I think the one thing that you have to experience in Green Bay is the field conditions, right? That is a slippery field, but as it gets frozen and they have the coils underneath it, it kind of softens it, and it doesn't make it as slippery, actually. So I don't think that'll be the issue. I think that Henry will wear the right spikes. You got to wear those big spikes here when you play up there. You can't wear the little ones or you'll slip. So I think he'll wear those, and I think it'll be a slow-paced game, which is exactly what Tennessee wants. I mean, neither offense is explosive. I know that a Packers scored 31 points last week against Dallas, but typically that's not the case. And Tennessee wants to be the boxer that spars on the ropes and just pounds and doesn't want to get into a dance and flow matchup. They want to be able to slow the game down and do what they did last week at home against Denver and win 17-10, get it into fourth quarter close, keep their running game intact. If you're a Titans backer, you feel really good about the game last week because you didn't even get Henry going, and you still were able to win the game with five guys missing in your defensive front. So I think it's a tough challenge for them. They have a bunch of guys going to miss again today, but this Tennessee team is resilient.
I think you nailed it on injuries. I'll get to the injuries. The number, Green Bay is laying 3. That's 120 juice. So could we see a 3.5? Remember, if it jumps to 3.5, it's going to get bought back down quickly. Michael, you've got a low total of 41. Green Bay is 6-4 to the under. Tennessee is 7-2 to the under. But to your point, two plotting offenses. Tennessee's last as far as seconds per play, and Green Bay is the fourth slowest team. So these are two plotting teams going to be playing in cold temperatures. We expect it to be even more plotting.
Well, and the other thing is, and you know, I'm pretty critical of Matt LaFleur quite a bit on my podcast and here on the show, but as I just told Femi, I thought last week's game plan, when I watched the game tape of it, I thought it was his best game plan ever. I thought he actually was really understanding how to play complementary football. Not that they're very good in the kicking game at all, because they're not, you know, and they turned the ball over and Rodgers eventually got cut. But to me, they were able to do the things they need to do around the talent level that they have. And they got the ball to Watson for 3 touchdowns, and he wasn't just a major focus of the offense. So to me, this has to carry through. Can they run the ball on Tennessee? Tennessee's very fast up front. David Long will make 100 tackles. They can get to the edge, and they can run. And if Simmons plays inside, it's a problem. I think a lot of this game is going to come down to the injury level of the Packer offensive line. Will they be healthy up front? Because this front, even though they played their backups last week, Russell Wilson's probably still sore today. They took a beating to him.
Oh, this is a tough defense. You can't run against the Titans. Vrabel is a wizard, and we'll get to Vrabel. That angle matters here. But let's talk Titans injuries, Michael. First off, a kicker. Tonight, kicker is important. Randy Bullock's out. Josh Lambeau is going to be in. Bud Dupree, the linebacker, out. Hooker, the safety, out. Johnson, the cornerback, out. The center, Ben Jones, is out. The question, will Jeffrey Simmons return? This is a banged-up Titans team on a short week.
Yeah, and they say Simmons will play. And look, okay, all those guys you mentioned were out last week anyway.
Correct.
You know, Ben Jones didn't play. They were able to get through. This offensive line, when you watch this tonight, this offensive line is not very good. It's remarkable that they get any yards moving the football. It really is. They get beat up, and yet they just hang in there. They have the personality of their head coach. It's pretty clear. And they understand what it takes to win in all 3 phases. And they don't mind playing a doubleheader on defense. They really don't. They just continue to go in there. You know, Farley is a guy that they had to put on IR. He was one of their starting corners. Now that he's on IR. So they're really depleted, but somehow, some way. The kicker to me is interesting because, as we saw last week with Mason Crosby, you know, he tried that 54-yarder into the wind, the same direction people are giving Mike McCarthy crap for not kicking. That wasn't even close. And later in the game, it wasn't going to be even closer than it was. So kicking in this stadium, especially with cold weather, where it's like kicking a cinder block, it's going to be very challenging. It's going to be very challenging. And you got to have a really good fourth down package going into this game, because I don't think you want to try a 50-yard field goal when you know you can't make it. You're better off going for it on fourth down.
Talked about Mike Vrabel. So the last 7 for the Titans, Michael, they're 6-1 straight up. They're 7-0 ATS. He's a wizard. We've talked about it extensively. He's done a hell of a job. He's just got this team. Again, remember, they lost one of their best defenders before the season started, and you can't run against this team. They're just tough.
They are. They're tough. They're physical. They play hard. They play every single play's the next play. They don't get caught up in having a negative play, you know, and they battled to the end. I mean, last week, Denver's got the ball with 3 minutes to go in the game, down by 7, and they come down the field and, you know, they make enough plays in the game and Denver doesn't protect well enough. It's 4th and 9 and they put pressure on. They call timely blitzes. They're really well coached defensively, and offensively, they know who they are. Like, they don't try to make any bones about it. Like, they're not trying to be flashy. You know, they have a trick play in, which got him a touchdown. Westbrook was able to make 2 catches in the game, one at the end of the half, which was critical. Cost Denver the game. Denver lost a middle 8 last week because of it. They were getting the ball to start the half, but if they would have held Tennessee to a field goal on the 3rd and 8 or 3rd and goal from the 8 on that 7 route that they throw the touchdown pass on, they probably win the game. That's the fine line that happens, and Tennessee is always on the right side of that fine line with Vrabel.
And then we'll get to the Packers side coming up in just a bit, but furthering the conversation about the Titans and why they've been so successful, they foreseen a tough 3rd down spots, right, Michael? They're the stingiest 3rd down conversion defense. They're tremendous in the red zone. They can pressure you without blitzing, which helps on 3rd downs. Like, this is, you know, technically the numbers bear out metrically as far as the Titans on defense to be wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's funny is the fact that, you know, when you watch their team play, you're not wowed by them. But
no.
like the Giants, in all the statistical numbers that you come up with, they're really good. That matter most when it comes to winning games, right? They're really good on 3rd down. They're really good in the red zone. You know, they can control the line of scrimmage. They know who they are. They when they turn it over is when they get in trouble. And typically, they've done a good job of not turning the ball over this year. Even, you know, with Willis at quarterback. Now, he came in last week and tried to run the read option, and he turned the ball over, which they were able to overcome that and still get 3 points later in the game. But they're timely with their offense, and they slow the game down because they want this to be an under game all the way.
Yeah, you nailed it as far as the under game. And I don't think this will surprise you, but the bets over at BetMGM, everybody's going over the rushing total for Derrick Henry, set at 99.5, probably going to climb. You saw the prop analyzer today, the Daily Email, which does a great job. Go sign up for free right now at VSiN.com. Henry, when the total's 99.5 this year, he's 5-4 to the over. So 5 overs, 4 unders. The Packers, they give up 140 yards on the ground. The opposite of the Titans as far as metal and toughness.
No doubt. And you know, look, it's going to be a hard game to catch the ball, right? And so to me, Green Bay's got to, they got to play base defense against this front. They can't get into their nickels. And because who are you scared of on their offense? Like, who frightens you? Not Robert Woods, not the Westbrook kid, you know, not the first round pick, Burks. I mean, nobody frightens you with their offense other than Henry. And they can make enough plays in their passing game, but they can't sustain a drive if they're in too many third downs. They just can't do it. Their line won't hold up.
The more you talk about this team, it brings wonderment. Like, Tannehill's banged up. If he's not coach of the year, let's go ahead and throw up the graphics for Michael there. Yeah, the coach of the year. Vrabel's your third betting favorite, 100-1 right now.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right? The guy, what the guy's doing with this team is just remarkable. You put anybody on this team, and you're wondering how he's going to win games. I mean, I said the tape that of the Kansas City game should go to the Hall of Fame. Hell, I think you could put the Washington tape in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they got the crap beat out of them all across the board by the Washington defensive front. I mean, if Washington doesn't make the playoffs, that game there will be the game that they are going to look back to and say, we could have won this game. Because they dominate the game. They dominate the line of scrimmage, and yet they couldn't make the plays that they needed to make, and Tennessee just hangs around. They are truly a mentally tough team. They have the personality of their head coach. They're not going to go away, and they're not going to get away from their identity. They started slow this year like they did last year, and they've come on strong. They go 0-2 now. Think about it, Patrick. They're 0-2 going to start the season.
Well, and also, they haven't scored more than 21 points in 5 straight games.
No, they're not going to.
They're not scoring.
Even against the bad Raider defense, they can't score points. I mean, they scored 24 in the first. I mean, they can't score. That's not who they are. And they don't want to be that way because they don't want to give the opponent the chance to win the game. They don't want to turn the ball over. His only way to lose is if he turns it over.
And to be fair, Green Bay, they're 25th in points per play. Tennessee's 23rd in points per play. Outside of last week, where they kind of got going in the second half there against Dallas, Green Bay has been dreadful on offense. We'll come back and discuss the Packers side of this. But again, we had to start. Bond and I were talking, where do you start here? You have to start with the Titans and what Vrabel's done. It's just, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing. He's going to win I'm telling you, if he were coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars, they'd be the best. They have the most talent in the South. They're not the best team. They're the most talent in the South. But this mentally tough team of Tennessee, weather's not going to affect them. You know, getting behind in a game, not. Now they've got to, LaFleur's got to use that same strategy you used last week.
Yeah, I think you and I always joke about it, but if you give me a choice right now, a couple of good assistants, the Lions, I'll take Vrabel over anybody but Belichick. We're coming back with Green Bay side, Thursday Night Football.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we dropped the guide. It's college basketball. It's awesome. Team pages, you've got over 400 pages digitally. Make sure you download it. Remember, to get the college basketball betting guide and all of our guides here at VSiN, you have to become a VSiN pro. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. You get tips for beginning bettors as far as college basketball, title value bets, from our VSiN experts, Matt Eumanns, Greg Hoops Peterson. They all did a great job. Again, over 400 pages. Make sure you check it out. Everything's covered in the college basketball betting guide. Okay, we're back. Week 11 kicks off. It's always interesting. Our schedules kind of line up. You work on Wednesdays, but our schedules kind of line up where Thursday night kicks off the new week. And again, it's a disaster for these players, but I'm sorry, Michael. I'm selfish. I love the Thursday night games. And tonight, we get a pretty damn good one. Titans-Packers. Yeah. We talked about the Titans. And again, the Packers are laying 3. The total's a low one at 41. So let's discuss the Packers. They snapped the 5-game losing streak in the come-from-behind win against Dallas. That was their best offensive performance. Remember, they hadn't scored over 22 points since week 4. This is, again, oftentimes you're going to pay a tax on Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of reasons the Titans match up well against this Packers team. Let's start with the Packers on offense.
Well, the last 3 weeks on offense, the Packers have run the football effectively. They've got 208 yards against Buffalo. I know a lot of that was in the fourth quarter when I thought they kind of found their offense. And then they go into Detroit and they don't run it as effectively. They go for 106. And then now they're back to 207 last week. And when you look at the games they've won and scored points, it's fascinating, right? Against New England, they ran for 199 yards. They scored 27 points, right? Against Chicago, they were able to run for 203 yards. They scored 27 points. And last week against the Dallas Cowboys, they scored 31 points and rushed for 207 yards. So, like, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out when they run the ball and they keep it from being a 50-pass or 40-pass game, they can move the football effectively. Now, that becomes a little bit of a problem against a really good front. And so they're going to have to find a way to run the football, because if they get into the situation where they can't, like they couldn't against the Commodores, you know, where they run for 38 yards, and that, or against the Jets where they ran for 60, you know, that's going to be really problematic. They can't play that game. They make too many mistakes in the passing game. There's not enough details that get covered because of the young receivers. So they've got to do everything in their power with their skill players, with Dylan and with Aaron Jones, to make sure that they run the football effectively.
Well, Jones, you mentioned 5.6 yards per carry, just starting to get going here, where 24 rushes, 138, and a touchdown last week, where Tennessee struggles. Again, Tennessee's second against the run. They only give up 85 yards per game on the ground. Where they struggle is defending the running backs out of the backfield, catching the ball. That is going to be important here tonight. Jones is a tremendous catcher of the football.
Yeah, and so they need to utilize that. And I think sometimes where we get a little bit misled, and we saw it a little bit in the Cowboy game, even though we only threw the ball 20 times, a couple of those throws were really runs. When he's throwing out there on the bubble screens, or he's throwing the ball into the flat, those are really what I call control passes, where you know you're going to complete the pass and you're going to keep the clock moving. That's critical. And so that's what they're going to have to do tonight. They're going to have to loosen them up. And I don't think you'll see the Tennessee Titans get into much of a match game here. I don't think you'll see Gene Rayburn in the microphone come out, because they know if they go into nickel or dime that Green Bay wants to run the ball. You know, and so they're going to have to make sure that that's how the game really gets matched up. Because if they play match game with them, if they start to go into that situation where, okay, they're in nickel, let's go to our nickel, or they're in dime, let's go to dime. I think what you'll see out of Tennessee is staying in their big nickel, where they can still match on the inside receiver, but still be firm enough to hold up against the run.
LaFleur, and again, it's almost, people get frustrated when you talk about LaFleur because they just point to the 13 wins. But if you're talking coaching jobs, Vrabel and LaFleur this year, we can't compare the two. What will his game plan be? Like, if I'm an in-game bettor tonight, I start to notice a couple of things about this Green Bay offense, and I want to fire on them. What are we looking for as far as the flow here for the Packers?
Time of possession. We're looking for them, their ability to control the football, right? The ability to keep, to get Green Bay to play, to get Tennessee to play from behind, to make Tannehill have to participate in the game, right? They're going to have to cash in points. And if we're settling for threes and not scoring touchdowns, the game will always stay attached. What you try to do against Tennessee, it's hard to do, is get the game disattached from them. It's really challenging to do. But I think that they can, they're going to have to throw it to run it, but throw it in a controlled fashion. Because even though, you know, they get into third downs, they haven't been a great third down team because of their precision lacking on offense. They're 18th in the league in third down conversions. So that's not been good enough. They're 23rd in red zone conversions. That hasn't been good enough. Now, last week it looked a lot better, but it's all built off the run game. And I think if you're in-game betting this, and if you see the Packers being able to put together a little bit of a drive and they stay out of those third and longs, they're going to be able to cash in.
Yeah, I mean, again, where they were porous offensively in Detroit against a very bad defense, it took 14 points in the fourth against Dallas. And again, there's some regression there with Dallas's defense. You know, it's interesting. This number opened 1-2. It got bet up to 3.5 and immediately bet back down to 3, which is where you see Green Bay laying the 3 tonight. The percentages are split. You go over to BetMGM, it's 54% of the tickets on Green Bay. Yeah. We're coming back the other way. Like, it's not necessarily being bought by the bettors right now that Green Bay is just automatically going to become Rodgers in Green Bay.
Yeah, well, they can't be Rodgers in Green Bay. They have to be a run game. They've got to, I mean, look, is it as clear as the nose on my face when they run for 200 yards, they actually are a better offense? When they feature the run game, I mean, right. You know, they beat the Bears, they beat the Patriots, they beat the Cowboys. You know, when they run the football, that's when they're good. When they do what they did against the Jets and can't run it, or against the Commanders and can't run it, they run into problems, so they can't do it. As one-dimensional as Tennessee is, and Green Bay's is one-dimensional, only it's masked behind the greatness of Rodgers. So that when they can throw the ball, he can still make throws. And I think what Watson did last week, they limited his route tree. You know, he ran over routes, he ran deep routes. And, you know, they didn't ask him to be the possession receiver. They asked him to be a big play receiver. The adjustment on the first touchdown catch was great. You know, and he made a play. And I think that confidence will carry over. Now, you know, can he catch the ball in cold weather? We're going to find out, because that's a frozen football my man's throwing tonight. I promise you.
And just as a quick note, there are 3.5s. Like, you go to DraftKings. If you want to bet Tennessee, go to DraftKings. They're 3.5. And we have BetMGM showing 3. Circa is 3, but minus 120. Remember, that 120, 110 is standard vigorish. 120, you're starting to see the wind blow up potentially to 3.5. But again, Michael, my assumption is, especially at a couple of these sharp books, as soon as that half gets shown out there, the bettors are going to buy it back down.
Yeah, I mean, look, and for me, this game is, you know, this is a game where when I break down my numbers, I had this as an 0.45 game. So both teams were really tight, right? And so I had it right there. Now, here's the thing that's interesting is Green Bay really only has a few strengths offense as a team. This Titan team is really strong. For as bad as they look, in 6 of the 19 categories, they're in the top 7. They're in the top 12 in 3 of them. So they've got 19 strengths on their team, whereas Green Bay really is only in the top 3 in 3 categories. And they've got a lot of weaknesses. You know, so to me, I think that that's really the difference. It's such a close game, but when I break down my game codes, it really favors Tennessee.
Okay, so 20s as far as the temperature, but again, you're going to have 20-mile-an-hour gusts of winds, pretty, you know, 10 to 12-mile-an-hour consistent winds. To reiterate what I said at the top, there's a slight correlation with temperature and lower scoring, but it's not really the difference, as you've taught us over the years. It really comes down to that wind.
Yeah, it's all the wind. Where is the under? Is the under at 41 right now, Patrick?
It's at 41. It's at 41 everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and so, like, for me, there is a significant wiggle room here from what my number is and what it is. Again, I don't like playing Thursday night games because I do think the home team does have a distinct advantage. You know, this will be the third game in
in basically, you know, 13 days, 10 days that this Titan team has played. And they played a doubleheader in the last one. Sunday night game, they played a doubleheader. They bounced back and come back and played Denver. Their offense wasn't great. They're on the field quite a bit. And now they got to play a game on Thursday. So I think that's a challenge. I mean, this, if they're ever going to be tired, this is going to be the game that's going to get to them.
And, of course, Green Bay played at home last week. It was in the late window, but they slept in their own beds. They stayed at home. So that short week becomes a little bit more manageable as they're going to be at home. You're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think if you want to play the game, I think you got to really favor the home team here. Not weather-wise, just because this Tennessee team has played a lot of plays defensively. They've played a lot of plays defensively, and that's going to be an issue.
We are on Thunder Snow Watch. Of course, Stephen Bond, Mr. Bills, he's monitoring. We're going to have an answer, you would assume, pretty soon. We'll come back and discuss it. Cleveland and Buffalo, are they going to be playing in Ford Field in Detroit? 3 to 6 feet. Yes, I said feet, Michael Lombardi. Potentially snow there in Buffalo. Feet.
Yeah. I know all about lake effect snow. Trust me. And it's serious.
Yeah, Cleveland.
I can't imagine they can play that game. I can't. I mean, it's going to be hard just to move around.
We'll talk about the betting ramifications when we come back. My assumption is it's 72 and sunny inside Ford Field. The assumption is we're going to hear about the decision over the next, couple hours. Logistically, it has to go down. We're coming back. Cleveland and Buffalo next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Remember, VSiN pros get all the betting tools. Part of the betting tools, the most popular aspect, are the betting splits. Money and bets for every single game, updated every 10 minutes from DraftKings. Today's games and future events as well. Just go to VSiN.com, check out the betting splits, become a pro, VSiN.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi on location there in Miami. I don't know if you're going to break out the boogie board after the show, but you should enjoy the weather down there because
I'm going to break out the boogie board to the airport. I got to get back, Patrick.
You got to go home.
I got shows
quickly
tomorrow. I got home. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. You know, I'm not going to be John Candy and get stuck here. I got to get out of here. You know, plane, trains, and automobiles. I got to get. You know, it's been a great.
You got to get back so Bella can annoy you, huh?
That's exactly right. Right at 3:45 when the games are being decided. Yes. Right, exactly.
The best was when Flightline was running. Of course, that's when Bella needs your attention.
Unbelievable. Like she must have been listening to the like, I can't even explain how she could come up with that, but
impeccable
only her
timing.
But yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me get to, I mentioned the weather. A couple things. One, we've got our buddy Will Smith. I just said Will Smith because I was thinking Miami. Yeah. Will Hill's going to join. Of course, Palms Pressing 3. We look forward to it every Thursday. And Mike Somich yet to come. So we've got a packed show. But obviously the conversation right now, Michael, Cleveland, Buffalo. Buffalo's laying 8. The question is, where will they be laying the points? Is it going to be in Buffalo where they're calling for 3 to 6 feet with this thunder snow coming through Buffalo? Or are we going to move it to Ford Field there in Detroit and the Dome? Are you hearing anything? We've got no updates as of now.
I mean, this is practical hearing because it's, to me, logic, right? So if Buffalo wasn't playing in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day and they had a Sunday game, I think this game would have been moved to Monday easily because it would give them time to kind of get rid of the snow, allow the roads to clear, to get people to the game and yada, yada, yada. But that not being the case, you know, because they don't have that extra day, they have to figure out something. And Detroit is the most logical place to move the game. The Bills have to be there anyway. So they've got to play on a short week. If they go over and play the game on Sunday, they'll stay there. Why would they go back to Buffalo? Stay right there, practice, get ready to play the Lions, and go there, go forward. So to me, I think it's not about the game itself. It's about how do people get to the game, the safety of the fans, how do the teams get in and out of the Buffalo. There's a lot of logistics here. And it doesn't make any practical sense to put people in danger because these storms are really bad. And you could say, well, it might be over with by Sunday, but that doesn't affect, as you know, growing up in Detroit where power lines come down and people don't have heat and all those things that go with one of these kind of storms because of the magnitude of the snow, you know, and it's not heavy snow. I don't know what not heavy, it's snow, right? And so it causes damage to some of the systems that we go through in our lives. So I don't see why they would do it if they have the option to go to Detroit. If they don't have the option to go to Detroit, maybe they have to go somewhere else, you know? Come down to Miami. They're not using Hard Rock Stadium. It'd be perfect weather.
I mean, it's a total public. It's a hazard. It's total hazard. And you know, living in Cleveland for years and years, and Bond knows, and even when I would go to Chicago, that lake effect is real, man. Like,
it's real.
The difference and the wind, it just becomes, it's brutal.
It really is. And look, I mean, I know we want to watch a beautiful game with snow. And I love that. There's nothing better than that. And I was a part of the Tuck game. And the scenery of the Tuck game was wonderful to look at. The results were still disturbing to me. However, that being said, you know, this is going to be just unbelievable. And the safety of the people there at the game has to weigh in on the decision. And I know it's only Thursday, and they've said they want to wait until Friday to really get a handle on the storm. They don't want to be too premature when maybe the storm will come Friday and they'll have all day Saturday to clean it, clear everything out, and then play the game on Sunday. So I think the one thing I know about the league with Goodell, he's going to err on the side of caution at best he can. And I'm sure that, you know, that Buffalo is probably rooting to go to Detroit early because if they can play this game on a fast track, without the weather, I think it really helps them, especially considering how Cleveland played last week against Miami and didn't cover anybody, wasn't able to generate any pass rush, really never got to Tua, never disrupted the rhythm of the game, and once they got behind, they couldn't come back. I think if this game's played in Detroit, I'll be all over Buffalo and lay the points. It'll be interesting to see how they readjust it. It'll be fun to talk to Mike Palm about that.
That's, yeah, and of course, you know, I know a lot of people were trying to get in on the Thunder snow under. Again, those tickets, every shop handles the tickets differently, but my assumption is it's going to be void. If this is moved to Detroit, you know, the shops will rip up your tickets if you do have one pre-existing. So just to follow up on your point in regards to the adjustment, when we do go to essentially 72 and perfect weather inside Ford Field, what do you think that 8 gets adjusted to, Buffalo laying it with Cleveland?
Well, I mean, I was just looking on my phone here, and it was, you know, it opened up. It opened it opened at 9 in a lot of places, and it kind of has gone between 9, 8.5. Now, I see some DraftKings as a 7.5 out there, you know, and so I see some of that. But pretty much I would stay at status quo at 8. I think it ticks back up to 8.5 if it plays in Detroit. And I think obviously the over-under probably will get adjusted back to 43, 44, maybe even higher. But right now, if you're sitting on a 41 ticket, or even you could go to a 39 ticket and feel really good if they played it in the snow.
Because you mentioned it, do you want to take a stab? You may have looked, but what do you got as far as Buffalo-Detroit Thanksgiving? That's the early game. What do you have that number there? Do you want to take a stab?
Well, I don't have it, but I'm going to take a stab at it because I got my numbers right in front of me. So good. I would say Buffalo. Let me get my power rankings here.
Buffalo-Detroit.
Buffalo-Detroit.
Giants in Dallas, and you've got New England-Minnesota, the late window coming up on
Turkey
Day.
I would say they're going to be a 10-point favorite. Let me say
you
10.
You just literally 10 across the board, 110s.
Yeah.
So doubles sitting on 10, Buffalo laying at Detroit. Let's have some fun. The Giants at Dallas.
My Giant number is 2. Let's see here. I'm looking here at the Giants. 2. I'm going to say that's going to be 2.5 favor of the Cowboys.
This is going to shock you. And again, there is always a Cowboys tax. When you dig into the defensive numbers for the Cowboys, it's getting ugly. And this is, I'm teasing this out. It's 7. Dallas is laying 7.
You know, so I have it as 4. So, I think 2.5 would be my number. I don't think the power rankings on the Giants or the Cowboys are going to change that much. They're actually really close. I mean, I have the Cowboys in my power rankings, which I'll release tomorrow. In my column, I have the Cowboys 1, 2, 3, 4. They're the 7th ranked team. I have the Giants as the 9th ranked team.
And then finally, remember, New England, a division game, hosting the Jets, and then they turn around, they play the night game in Minnesota on Turkey Day. An interesting matchup. You want to take a stab at the number?
60, 58, and I'm going to say New England's going to be a 4.5-point dog in that game.
3.5. Minnesota 3.5. So your number is pretty damn close here. 10 Buffalo Lane, Detroit. Dallas 7 Lane hosting the Giants, middle of Turkey Day, and then Minnesota 3.5. It does feel
nobody respects the Giants. I don't know what the Giants have to do. It'll be a lot of people are on Detroit this week. I mean, I don't get that. Like I watched the Detroit game again yesterday, and I mean that defensive holding call that was called against Detroit. Called against Chicago, that was about as good a jam as you're ever going to see on the line of scrimmage that you could possibly, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know how that was a penalty. I really don't. The guy jammed him, and the guy fell down. I mean, when you play press corner, you're allowed to hit the guy in the first 5 yards. You're allowed to jam him, you know, and he punched him, and he went right on the ground, and they intercepted a ball, and Detroit came back in the fourth quarter. I think that's fool's gold, Detroit. I really do. I think if you're playing Detroit again in a cold-weather game on the road, you're seeing something that I didn't see in that tape. I mean, Chicago had a chance to win that game all the way to the end.
Quickly, an update. It's not out of the question that the Browns-Bills game could be moved to a different location due to impending snowstorm. NFL is monitoring the storm and contact. Wait, Steven, what are you sending me here? That we know that. Maybe I'm misreading
this. Yeah, that's an old one.
That's an old one. Wait. Here it is. If Browns Bills get moved, it's not clear where it would be played, but Detroit makes a lot of no. These are updates that I already have, Stephen. Okay, so that's that as far as Turkey Day. Actually, to me, outside of Buffalo and Detroit, a couple of those later two games are very intriguing.
We're gonna be fun, and you know, I mean, I don't know how Detroit's possibly going to handle the speed of Buffalo. With their defense, especially if Buffalo gets into a rhythm, which I think Buffalo is going to get into a rhythm against Cleveland. I think Josh Allen, I think his back's to the wall. I think a lot of those mistakes he's made are unforced errors. I think you're going to see him kind of refocus himself, much like he did after the Patriot game, where he went down to Tampa. You know, they stopped turning the ball over from the Tampa game on and were very difficult to play.
Just for fun, I write my numbers down. I don't have the algorithm like you do. I had Buffalo 10, I had Dallas 4.5, and I had Minnesota 4.5. It's Dallas 7, Minnesota 3.5. I was closer to your numbers. So
yeah,
that's,
I mean, like I don't. Well, this tax for Dallas. Like I have Minnesota should be the favorite in Dallas, and Dallas is getting all them, and Dallas is. And
right.
No one's betting
Will
Minnesota.
Hill. Yep, Minnesota 3.5 right now. Will Hill's going to join us next. He's got to play on Thursday Night Football coming up here at Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, remember, any Monday or Thursday night football game, football fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks, BetMGM. Just place a single first touchdown score prop Monday, Thursday nights. That's tonight. If your bet loses, you're going to receive up to $25 back in free bets. It's a great deal. It's an awesome deal throughout the year on Monday and Thursday nights over at BetMGM. Remember, they reconfigured the app as well. 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER. If you have an issue, Mississippi, Nevada, or New York, not available. We go L.A. to Miami to Connecticut. That's what VSiN does as we welcome you back here. Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi down, doing some business with the book. He returns back to Ocean City and Bella and the crew just after the show. We welcome in our buddy Will Hill, VSiN Insider. Now, would you like to, we were reconnecting with Michael when you asked me the question. Would you like to pose the same question to Michael Lombardi, please?
I mean, first of all, I thought Lombardi and I were close. He goes down to Miami. He's partying with Pitbull. He's doing all sorts of fun things. I don't even get a text, a call, nothing. But there is the MVP voting tonight for baseball. We know Judge is going to win. I'm curious how many votes out of 50 Ohtani will get. I have a bet under 5.5. I'm curious what you guys think.
Your boy, Michael.
I Shohei. Can't. I mean, yeah, I'm sure I would take the under on that one. You know, I would take the under. I can't imagine. But, you know, look, the fact that Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young Award in his entire career tells you all you need to know about that was voting by the baseball people.
Yep, 100%. Now, Will, you were ahead. Didn't you get down a bunch throughout the year on Judge as the numbers were adjusting as well?
Yeah, I know Wes Reynolds had like 20-1. I said it I think it was 3-1 or 4-1 on this show. I was like, hey, it's late, but better late than never. I figured he'd win it, and he'll probably win it pretty comfortably tonight. Not that we want to spend that much time on it, but baseball does such a bad job. They spent 2 hours on these award shows. It's crazy. Like, we all know the winners. It's just so ridiculous. And the season was over 2 months ago. It makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the show you need to produce. But let me ask you this question. What are you betting for Judge's next team? I know you're betting that. So what's his next team?
The Yankees will keep him. They are cheap when it comes to just signing other players, but they're not stupid. They have all the money in the world. It would be such a bad PR move business-wise to let him walk. They have all the money in the world. They could sign all these guys. They will not let him get away. The question is, do they build once around him? Do they spend around him if they keep him? Which, if I'm Judge, I want some guarantees that, hey, you're going to get some other players, because you know what? When George was alive, they're getting every free agent. It's not the way anymore, and the Astros have passed them by like they're standing still, so I do think they will keep him, though.
Will Hill, we've got, you know, to be honest with you, the only book that's showing 3.5 is DraftKings right now. Green Bay laying 3.5 at DraftKings. Everywhere else, it's 3. Now, it is juiced, 120, 125 at a couple of shops with Green Bay laying it. Tennessee, Green Bay, Thursday night, week 11, total of 41. We do have weather. Again, slight correlation with temperature and a little lower scoring, but not much. 20s, gusts up to 20 mile an hour, so we're going to have wind chill in the low teens there. Will, what do you got on this one?
I like the Packers. I think they're going to win. I don't have any appetite for laying 3.5. Like you mentioned, there's going to be weather. Should be a lower scoring game. I would go with the under, especially on Thursday night football, where I tend to lean towards the home team, tend to lean towards the under. I do think both of these offenses will have some success, but canceling that out is both these teams play awfully slow. So, you know, you have a low total, you have some weather, you have two slow teams. I could see a 21-17, 20-17. I think it'll be a tight game. So that 3.5 is valuable. But I do think the Packers win. I think the Titans are one of these teams, sort of like the Giants and the Vikings, where you look at their record and you say, wow, this is a really good team. And they are gritty. They're well coached. There's a lot of intangibles with Tennessee. But I do think Green Bay is slightly the better team. I think Green Bay's had some bad luck in close games, you know, other than Detroit, where Green Bay really played terribly. Green Bay is just been in a lot of these games, haven't been able to finish. Tennessee's sort of been the opposite. And I think if you look at Tennessee's wins, who they've beaten, it's a combined like 15-30-2. It's not like they've beaten the class of the league. So I think the Packers probably win by a touchdown, something like that. 3 is probably as far as I'd go. I do think the Packers win the game tonight.
You know, it's funny. Last week when they played Denver, you know, they play exactly that ugly style. They had, you know, they had 13 drives in the game, 8 punts, 1 fumble. You know, and they had 9 drives where they get 1 first down or less. I mean, think about that. And then they still find a way to win. I mean, they averaged 5.1 yards per play because they held Denver to 4.3 yards per play with a bunch of backups. I mean, and Denver, you know, you would think Denver would have been able to move the ball more effectively against all these guys that weren't playing with Tennessee.
Every time I look at a game book when it comes to the Titans, I marvel at it. I mean, here they are. They can't run the football, and yet they have a 63-yard touchdown pass. They have another 41-yard touchdown. They have another 41-yard pass. And they make three plays. Their rushes and completions last week were a disaster. They had 42 rushes and completions. They had 17 incompletions in the game, you know. And so, and last week, unlike a Vrabel-type team, they were penalized 9 times. They were offsides 3 times. They allowed 3 first downs in the game on penalties. That's typically not like them, but, and they still won.
I would say, too, this is everything for Green Bay. Sorry to jump in, but this is everything for Green Bay. The Titans, they're fat and happy. They got a nice little cushion in their division, which is a terrible division. The Packers, if they have any hope of making a run for a wild card, they got to win tonight, and they got to keep winning. So you get the hungrier team, too.
Yep, 4-6 for the Packers, 6-3 again. 6-1 straight up their last 7 for the Titans, 7-0 ATS. To Michael's point about Denver and Tennessee, Denver had every reason and every right to win that football game as well. That's why we keep going back to Vrabel. His team had it sitting there. They played a horrible football game, yet they come away with a win. They're 6 in their last 7 games. He's just done an amazing job.
Unbelievable. I mean, and Patrick, you know, look, Wilson put the ball on the ground, 3 fumbles. They recovered them all. But they had the ball out 3 times, you know, and it's just remarkable that they find ways to win. And this is contagious. I mean, this is really what happens to these teams. They start to believe they can win any game. And I think that's where you are with the Titans.
Okay, Will, props. Packers give up 140 on the ground. No surprise. Everybody is hammering Derrick Henry. This morning, it was set for his rush total at 99.5. DraftKings has adjusted. They've gone to 100.5 -115 to the over.
Boy, that's a lot. That's asking a lot. Especially if you like the Packers in the game, you figure they can get a lead and sort of try to make the running game obsolete. I know Tennessee's going to stick to the run no matter what. Boy, if I had to bet it, I guess I would just hold my nose and take the under, but that's not one I really want a part of.
You know, the one thing is that with Green Bay's poor tackling, you got to think that if he breaks through, and he couldn't break through the Denver second, he couldn't get there. There was a couple runs you thought he was going to get there, and he couldn't do it. It really comes down to when you're playing these overs on backs, they've got to have a long run. They've got to have a long run somewhere in the game. And this is the kind of game where you might think Henry could have, like the Chief game. He had 2 long runs in the Chief games, and he really didn't do much else, you know, and that still curtails your ability to run the ball, because like most defensive coaches in the league, they always say, well, throw out the big run, and we held them to 2.4. Well, we can't throw out the big run. They gained it. Like, it's still there. But I think in this case on the over, you're counting on him making a big run against Green Bay's defense and a lot of 2-yard gains in between.
Just as an aside, I do like Aaron Jones, his receiving total tonight, 23.5. While the Titans have been awesome against the run, they struggle to cover the back out of the backfield. So we'll circle back on that. The number in the line that seems to be, and you're a Minnesota fan, so let's talk about it. It's almost like Kevin O'Connell's like, thank you, Lord, you're going to make us dogs at home against Dallas. That's where it sits right now, Will.
Yeah, I think I had the same reaction that most people had where, hey, the wrong team is favored here. Thought Minnesota would be laying a point or so. Not that a point is all the difference in the world, except for teasers where it really does matter a lot. I don't know. You look at the Vikings, their stats, they keep getting lucky in turnovers. There were 4 fumbles in the game versus Buffalo. They recovered all of them. They're +8 in turnovers. Darisaw might not play, which is a huge part of this game. Jefferson's on the injury report. I liked Minnesota early on, but man, Dallas, I don't know. I'm spooked by Minnesota because I don't think they're that good, but they keep finding ways to win.
In spite of what they did last week, they averaged 6-1 per play against Buffalo. They gave up 6-8 and still won the game.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and Buffalo was 53% on 4th third down. You know, let's face it, Buffalo dominates the game, and they have 28 plays in the 4th quarter. They have 1 punt, 2 interceptions, and a fumble. Buffalo got 14 first downs between overtime and the 4th quarter and still lost the game and still turned it over that much. I mean, that's an improbable win by Minnesota, really, when you think of it. It's the miracle. It was the miracle in Buffalo, much like the miracle in the Meadowlands. There is no reason Buffalo should have lost that game.
Yeah, and Will was fired up about it. He'll take it. I will say this. The Dallas defensive regression is real, and I don't think, you know, I think Mike Parsons is hurt. There's something there, Michael, because he has been absent. Quickly, Thursday, late game, you're excited about this. The Patriots headed to Minnesota. Are you surprised? 3.5? Seems a little short, maybe?
A little bit, but look, the books aren't buying into Minnesota. They're not looking at the record. They're just looking at some of these underlying stats, like Lombardi says, yards per play, some of these other things where Minnesota's just sort of middle of the pack in a lot of these categories, despite a great record. I mean, it's a strange season where Minnesota's 8-1. We're not that impressed. The Giants are 7-2. The Jets are good. It's definitely a strange year.
It's really okay. The year should be tagged how to avoid losing and you'll win. I mean, those are what the teams are doing. And Minnesota really should have lost. They didn't avoid losing last week, and they still won. That's how lucky they've been.
Mike Vrabel should give a speech, how to win in a year like 2022. Because that's really what it comes down to. Okay, if you were to play, you'd go under the 41 tonight, right, Will?
Yeah, Packers win a close, low-scoring game, 21-14, something like that.
He's Will Hill. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
We've Will.
Got quarterback
Appreciate you.
Answers coming back next here at Lombardi Line.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.